Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, writes to both the Jew and the Gentile. Gentile just meaning anyone who wasn't Jewish first, didn't come from a Jewish faith. In chapters 1-8, he proclaims the gospel of Jesus, of salvation through faith. But many of the Jews rejected this. For them, being able to trace their bloodlines back to Abraham and through works, through trying to live their lives by following the law, was everything. They were God's elected. They were his chosen. Salvation was theirs. Now, this is why Paul writes this chapter, chapter 9. Tom covered the first half last week, and this is the second in this series, from chapter 9 to the end. In this chapter, Paul reminds his readers of the gospel message which he had already proclaimed, and says, God is sovereign in salvation. He declares the way, and the only way is through Jesus. Now look with me at verse 18, which we looked at last week. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. This is about election, and we're given some examples which we looked at last week. One being the Lord choosing between Abraham's sons, choosing one over the other, Isaac over Ishmael, to show that God is sovereign in election. And who he chooses and how has absolutely nothing to do with anything that we've done or who we are. Paul desperately wants his Jewish readers to get their heads around this, to understand. Now, the major theme in this passage, which Tom mentioned last week, is the place of Israel, the Jewish nation in New Testament times. And it's not so much about election and predestination, for which there are so many different views out there. And we wouldn't be doing it any justice if we went through that today. So our passage, today's passage, the second part of chapter 9, in it, Paul actually repeats what he'd already said, but then adds a little bit more. Now, I like the way that Paul sets about doing this with a question. Verse 19. One of you, he's saying this to the Jews in his audience, one of you will say to me, why then does he still find fault? Who can resist his will? Speaking of God. This comes in response to verse 18, where Paul said God has mercy on who he has mercy and hardens who he hardens. They don't get it. God's rejection, it's not simply about God withholding his mercy. It's so much more than that. It's about their unbelief, and they're believing that they can seek righteousness, but in the wrong way. I just want to say something about misinterpreting scripture. It could be so easily misunderstood back then. The Jews have such a rich history with God, and equally, it gets misunderstood today, especially the Old Testament. And it can cause people to ask questions like, can I trust God? Does he really care? I just want to share something with you. Years ago, when I was quite a new Christian, my faith in God, it wobbled. I nearly lost my faith because some verses in Scripture, they were misquoted in such a way that they left me wondering about questioning God's character, who he was, and did I want to worship him? That was a terrible period for me. Thank God for the person who pointed me back to the truth. And today, I really don't know what I would do without him. Our image of God, it can get distorted and cause problems. When verses are just plucked off the page and read as if they stand alone without looking at them within the wider context of God and his purposes and the power of the cross. So get your hands on a really good Bible commentary. Pray before reading Scripture. Ask Holy Spirit to help you discern what the Word is saying. It's okay to have doubts if you have any, but tell someone, tell Tom. Share it in your home group. That's what they're there for. And if you're not in one, please have a chat and we'll point you in the right direction. But back to our passage. Verse 19, that question. Look with me now at Paul's response. Verse 20. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me this way? Now, Paul doesn't want to suppress their questions here, but first and foremost, he wants to remind them of what he'd already told them before, that God is sovereign. He's telling this to his readers and he's telling this to us. He is creator of everything that is and was. The very first words in the Bible are, in the beginning, God. And he wills what he wills because he is sovereign. In verse 21, we have this illustration of a potter and clay. And theologians cannot agree as to what that exactly means, so we're not going to press it. But I think it's helpful for us this morning to see it as Paul saying, speaking of our status as humans, human beings, to God. Now, it's not a perfect illustration to be compared with a lump of clay. We've been made in God's image. We are image bearers. But it does help get the point across. He's saying we have as much right to tell God how to be with us, how we should be saved, as a clay pot has to tell the potter who created it, ask questions of, why did you make me this way? So our first point is a reminder that God is sovereign and he has absolute rights and full authority to do as he chooses. But it can seem a little bit scary to know that anyone can command such power over us. But the good news is God is merciful and full of grace. This is in his character. on the mountain back in Exodus 34, he declares himself to Moses, says, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin." With this in mind, back to our passage, verse 22. It mentions God's wrath twice. But it's helpful for us to look at this and at the nature of God's election, verse 18, God having mercy on whom he chooses. Whilst remembering this, we are fallen, deserving judgment, but he chooses to be merciful because of his character, offers us salvation, which he displays through Jesus. The emphasis in these verses is not on his wrath, but his mercy. Yes, God is sovereign and can do as he chooses. And our second point is, he chooses to be merciful because of his character. Undeserved, yet so freely given. This is our God. I've got a question. Does God save everyone? Does God save good people? Does he save that good neighbour of yours who is so amazingly helps others, so selflessly helps others, but does not recognise Jesus as Lord? Does he? It's a big question. God is merciful, yes, but he is also a God of justice. We cannot forget that. And he only counted Jesus as spotless, as blameless in his sight. If we choose to reject his offer of salvation, that's our decision, that's up to us. That's our responsibility. But what about that relative? We all know someone who we may be praying for to come to faith. Do we continue to pray for them? Well, yes, because the good news, there's more good news here. There is hope, because God is patience. And this is our third point. When I met Lloyd, my husband, I was a single mum, hardworking, self-sufficient. I was quite proud of myself. I didn't need anyone or anything. I didn't even have time to think about Jesus. And Lloyd's mum, a God-fearing woman, instead of judging me, instead of being critical, she just handed me this little white Bible. I have to admit, I put it on a shelf where it gathered dust. But her prayers, I know that they had something to do with me coming to faith just over 10 years later. God is patient. Like in the story of the prodigal, he patiently waits for those who do not know him yet to say yes. And this includes all people of all faiths or none. So be encouraged. Keep praying for that person on your heart. Yes, God does want to show his wrath against evil, and he will display that one day. But understand, he holds that back with the reins of his love, allowing for time, more time, precious time for more to come in, to enter and be included in the number who are called, who are basically called the children of the promise. He is a God of justice, and he does judge sin. But anyone who is alive today is under his patience. This is our God. Back to the passage. Paul says to the Jewish readers of this letter, the gospel has caused you to stumble because you continue to pursue righteousness, but in the wrong way. He quotes Old Testament scripture, Hosea and Isaiah, from verse 25, to say, if you understood this correctly, you would see this too. Paul, he was raised a Jew, and he had such a passion for his people to come to understand the gospel. This is why he wrote. This is why he had this fire in his belly that sent him all over the place to preach first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Let us end by looking at verse 25, where Paul quotes Hosea. I will call them my people who are not my people. I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And it will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. That's us. He always intended to include us from the beginning. So what can we take away from today? We looked at misinterpreting scripture. We saw how God is sovereign and can do as he chooses. And because of his character, he chooses to offer salvation to all, whoever we are, whatever our histories, even if we think we do not deserve it. Salvation through Jesus, that's the election. The plan for salvation is beautiful. Jesus is the foundation, the cornerstone, the rock on which we can all depend. We can feel safe in his sovereignty. We are in a very safe pair of hands. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for scripture. Thank you that we can find out more of who you are as we read scripture, Lord. And we just pray that we are reminded of your character, who you are, and who we are in that, Lord. So thank you. Amen.